This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everyone. Adam Ritz here with you on another great edition of the Adam Ritz Show. We do public affairs, and we do it in style with a smile, mainly because of Jay Baker, our co-host. He brings a smile to my face anyway. Jay, are you smiling?
I am smiling. We are heading into the very busy holiday season, and it's a great time to share with you some of the things that we've learned to keep you aware in your world.
I had an evening this week, holiday related, that was so fun, and it is connected to the public affairs world. The name Peter Billingsley, does that name ring any bells for you?
It doesn't, but what an official sounding name.
Oh, it does sound, he sounds like a British royalty, Peter Billingsley. Well, for our fans of A Christmas Story, the film that is shown on a marathon movie basis every year, Christmas Eve to Christmas Day, back to back. I think it's on TNT or maybe TBS or even maybe both channels.
Could be both.
That is one of my favorite movies. It's Melissa's favorite movie of all time, not just her favorite Christmas movie, but it's her favorite movie of all time. So one of the gifts I got her this year was an evening with Peter Billingsley. He was in town this week, and what they did was they showed the movie, and then after the movie, they brought Peter out in a chair with a moderator and did a little Q&A. He explained some of the scenes and how they were shot. He remembers when he was a kid. And then
was his character known as Ralphie?
Absolutely. He was the star of the show. He was the blonde-haired kid with the glasses. Famously, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. He was the kid that was apparently going to shoot his eye out when he got the Red Ryder BB gun that he wanted for Christmas. And they had a Q&A, so they had two mics on either side of the stage so fans could walk up and ask questions, and it was really neat. And you and I have always talked about combining your charitable donation dollars, your charitable foundation budget, matching that with your entertainment dollar, and you get a two for one. So that's how I looked at this, because Peter's heavily involved with the restaurant Raising Cane's. You know that chicken tender, chicken finger restaurant?
Yeah.
He has, this is fun. One of the questions asked was, where is the BB gun from the movie? Does somebody have it? And where is the bunny suit? There's a famous scene with a pink bunny suit that his Aunt Clara got him for Christmas. It's a terrible, something a 12-year-old boy would never want to wear. And he said that he not only has both items in his possession, he has them at his house. He also has the sequined silver cowboy outfit that he wore in the scene where he's sort of daydreaming that he took out the bad guys, Black Bart, in the backyard with his Red Ryder BB gun. And he has loaned all three of those items to Raising Cane's restaurant in New York Times, New York City Times Square, for a window display to promote their Raising Cane's Foundation plush toys and toys for tots. So if you're in the New York area and you're in Times Square, you will see the actual BB gun, pink bunny suit, and silver sequined cowboy suit that Ralphie, Peter Billingsley, actually wore in the movie. And it's helping to raise money and awareness and toys for children in the New York area. So I thought that was a cool thing to talk about. If you have a chance to see an actor or actress, a director talking about the movie, one of your favorite films, there's usually some sort of charitable angle involved. You can sort of match up your entertainment dollar with your donation bucket and get a 2-for-1 there. And Peter Billingsley is just such a nice guy. He was gracious to the crowd. It was very cool. Very, very cool to see. Now I am just looking forward to watching that movie marathon and watching A Christmas Story 14 or 15 times in a row.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, you have to. If you don't, you feel like you're just not getting the maximum holiday experience, you know?
Someone did ask him, what's your favorite Christmas movie, not counting this one? And he said, well, obviously my favorite Christmas movie is A Christmas Story, but if I had to pick one besides Christmas Story, without a doubt, it's Christmas Vacation. So I think it'd be neat to somehow get the remaining cast members of both films together for some sort of panel discussion about holiday films. That'd be fun. And then, Jay, I wanted to also mention something about the Marshall Mathers Foundation. Now, maybe you didn't know Peter Billingsley. I think you know who Marshall Mathers is.
Boy, I am drawing a blank, and I feel like I shouldn't be.
No.
I think you're going to enlighten me here.
I will.
Pretty good with my pop culture.
I thought you'd know who Marshall Mathers is just because it's music related.
Is he considered the? I can't remember his name, but the Detroit-based. Performer.
Yes, that's
okay.
Him.
Okay. I just can't. I want to say Eminem, but that's not it.
That's it. Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned. Well, now I feel slightly better. And then I saw his biopic. Wasn't it 8 Mile or whatever the film that he was involved with?
Yeah, 8 Mile was the big film with the huge hit song that I actually like that song. I'm not a fan of Eminem. I know I should be. I'm that age, Generation X. Everybody I know loves his work. I honestly, side note, I cannot stand his music. I can't. It is shards of broken glass in my ears. His voice to me, I've always said this, in the film Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, there's a character named Eugene, and he's just the quintessential nerd that goes to Rydell High School. And just the way Eugene talks, that is the exact voice tone that I hear when Marshall Mathers sings or raps or whatever he's doing. So all I hear is Eugene from Grease.
Wow. So I guess what you're saying is the music hasn't grown on you just yet.
So while I cannot appreciate the discology catalog from Eminem, I can absolutely appreciate the charitable efforts of Mr. Marshall Mathers and the Marshall Mathers Foundation. In the last 2 years, he has given over $200,000 to a Detroit-based charity called Wolverine Human Services. And for this holiday season, his efforts will help 1,200 needy Michigan children have a more memorable holiday season. So while I will not be listening to Eminem, I will be applauding Mr. Marshall Mathers on his charitable efforts this holiday season.
So it had a happy ending after all.
I'm waiting for that Eminem Christmas album. You know, everybody's got a Christmas album. So maybe hearing Marshall Mathers do a version of All I Want for Christmas Is You, that's all I need to win me over.
Wasn't one of the songs going to be, because, you know, it's sometimes in Detroit, times can be difficult. It's Santa got hijacked at the convenience store. Is that the cool Christmas song that will be on there?
I'm sure. If he does that, you should get royalties for giving Eminem that idea.
Absolutely. Every time I used to hear stories like this one growing up, you'd almost go, oh, why bother? It seems like a big hill to climb. But, you know, a lot of us sort of inquire internally, what kind of income and worth would we need to feel comfortable? And everybody's feeling a little bit financially stressed. So a company actually took a hard look at what's it like having $1 million, because $1 million used to be the ultimate status symbol. You know how it is, Adam. I think, you know, once you made your first million, you know, you felt probably content.
You know, being a millionaire isn't all it's cracked up to be. I can tell you that.
I can tell you firsthand the difficult challenges that I have. Yeah. No radio guy with a straight face. First of all, disclaimer as we're speaking, no radio guy says to another radio guy, "Hey, I remember when you made your first million."
I had
never under categories of things that never happen.
I used to say to my kids, we'd drive when they were little, we'd drive through neighborhoods and we'd see enormous mansion-esque houses. And I'd say, there aren't any radio DJs that live in this neighborhood.
That's pretty funny. So here's what survey says. About a third of Americans who are millionaires don't consider themselves wealthy. According to this study, even the wealthiest Americans still worry. They're just like you and I. They still worry about money, from having enough of it to deciding how to spend it, or whether to pass it down to their heirs after their passing. Now, while you might not feel rich, there are a lot of millionaires in the United States, according to the Global Wealth Report. Our country is home to nearly 24 million millionaires.
I believe it. I mean, there's a lot of money out there. And like you said, it's not really as much money as it used to be.
Yeah, and here's exactly, you brought up a great point. Millionaires are relatively common. So this report refers to anyone with assets of $5 million or less. They use the phrase everyday millionaire. So they would be the millionaire you'd see. They wouldn't be parking their Ferrari. They would just be parking their nice SUV at the parking lot you're in.
Yeah, you know, there was a time not so long ago, if you had $1 million in cash, I mean, that was the dream come true, and you could retire and never work again. And yeah. Jay, even at our old ages now, if someone handed us $1 million cash, well, now that is a lot of money, we couldn't just quit our jobs and retire and never work again and live on that. It would be gone. We would use it up. We would use up the interest, however we invest it. I mean, the dividends, we wouldn't use it up in a day, but it would not last our entire life.
Absolutely. So if you are a young person hearing this, kind of brace yourself. I think these are achievable targets, but here's what the survey says. The American dream is about a $5 million endeavor over a lifetime. And in that time, here are the targets. Retirement, $1.6 million. Owning a home, about $957,000. Owning new cars, about $900,000. Raising two kids and paying for college, that's just under $1 million. So, you know, that's the thing about families. Those kids need tuition, Adam.
Kids will ruin your life. I've been saying that for quite some time now. You know, the greatest joy you'll ever have is having children. It's totally worth it. But yeah, it's almost not fair that your friends that never had kids, boy, they've got a lot more extra money laying around than you do.
Absolutely. Healthcare over a lifetime, about $414,000. If you take vacations, probably about $180,000. Pets will run you about $40,000. And if you have to spring for a big wedding, because once again, we're trying to show we're not just average everyday millionaires. We're the kind of millionaire that spends $38,000 on a wedding. So obviously, if you add up all those figures, you're around $5 million. So if you've got about $100 in the bank, you got a ways to go, but at least you're heading in the right direction.
I'm not really a pet guy, so I'm glad to hear that I'll save $40,000 over the course of my life on not having a pet. I thought it'd be more. Everybody I know that has a pet, I feel like every year there's some $3,200 surgical removal of a tennis ball from a lower bowel or something that has to add up over the course of you have a pet for 40 years. I feel like you're spending more than $1,000 a year on that pet.
Yeah, pets can be expensive. That's why you should stick either with the no pet or get an iguana later.
Goldfish is as far as I'll go.
That's as far as you'll go. Yeah. Hey, you know, we've talked a lot about what age certain maturities arrive at. I think there was even a move afoot, in my personal opinion, thankfully it seems to have not gone anywhere, but to introduce a bill to allow 16-year-olds to vote in national elections.
That would be terrible.
Personally, and when I share this story with you, you'll kind of see why. I'm not trying to get you to see my point. I'm just saying 16-year-olds should probably maybe get a driver's license, and then we'll look at other stuff later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We famously live in a country where people say, sadly, people can go join the army and fight in a foreign war, but they can't get a beer at their local establishment, because why is 21 years of age considered the legal drinking age? Because they feel that people need to have some built-in responsibility. Now, back in the past, and certainly probably today, most people would say, well, if you're 18, you're an adult. But there has been a brand new study where they followed a bunch of people around, did brain scans, etc., and they decided that 18 was kind of in the middle of what many people would consider the adolescent brain.
Completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
When you brought up moving the voting age to 16, you know, I'm old man now. Here's my get off my lawn moment for you, Jay. I feel like they should move the voting age to 21, because 18-year-olds today think like 14-year-olds did 100 years ago.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be popular, but there's a lot of people that would agree with you very readily.
I just, I don't know. It seems like society has been dumbed down as they've grown up. I mean, think about an average 19-year-old 50 years ago, there was a large amount of them that were already moved out of their parents' house and maybe even purchased a home. 50, 100 years ago, a 19-year-old, yes, let them vote. But right. A 19-year-old today is 8 years away from moving out of their parents' house and even understanding national issues and how they could affect the rest of the country. I don't know. I got to get off the soapbox. Sorry. I apologize.
Well, it's okay.
You know, one thing's for sure, Jay, there aren't any 19-year-olds listening to this show right now on an early Sunday morning. So I don't feel like I'm offending anybody.
Your target audience for displeasure is fast asleep. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes. And if you are, if you're 19, you're listening to a public affairs radio show on an early Sunday morning, then yes, you can vote. Please.
Well, I was struck, and I want to get to these age ranges because they're fascinating, and I think many people will see some real-life examples in their family and friends. But Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a brain researcher, very famously said that your brain is still making a lot of connections as a young adult. So what do? We send young adults off to university, and what do? Well, they don't get as much sleep. Their nutrition goes out the window. Partying sometimes kicks in during your college years, and all of a sudden, a brain that's still making connections is really actually being challenged by the environment that we put many kids into at the university level. And he was pointing out that's not a good scenario for learning and having sort of a healthy brain as you age into your adult years. And that really struck me. You know, I mean, that's not a crisis, but it certainly is food for thought.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you think about all the decisions you and I made back during those years in college or college age, and they're not really the best decisions.
I feel like my college years were flawless, as I like to say.
you are lucky there were no phone cameras and social media.
Yeah.
Both of us are lucky.
I think social media would have sunk our battleship, as we like to say.
Yeah.
At any rate, they kind of put this into different brain phases. The researchers felt that childhood was birthed to about 9 years old. It's your brain narrowing down the many connections to become more efficient. That's why, I don't know if you're like this, Adam, but I love kids when they're about 7 to 8 months old, because you know, as they look around the room, they're trying to even connect. Why do we have doors? What's a window?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm hungry.
Yeah, they are noticing things. Their eyes are wide, and you just love to be able to get in their head and think and see what they're thinking.
I wish there was a video output on their thoughts. You know how that goes. Now, the researchers felt that from about 9 to age 32, believe it or not, is considered, this is for their survey, adolescent years. During these ages, the brain is working to be efficient and is gaining new knowledge. So you got to take good care of your brain. And we all have to realize, as you just wisely pointed out, the age 18 is not like a light switch. It's not like, well, it's 17 and a half years. You don't know squat. But at 18, now you're Einstein. Hey, here, go vote.
And the study is saying that the adolescent years are from age 9 to 32.
So you're still making those connections. You're increasing your knowledge base. And your brain is still somewhat pliable during those years. So you might not really feel like you've grown into your maturity. This is just, you know, a corollary with people I've been around. Most people don't sort of seem mature until they're at least in their mid-20s, I've found.
So is your point here today that people shouldn't vote until they're 33 years old?
I think that would be a good start. Listen to me. Right now, somebody is getting some pitchforks and torches ready to hit the radio station.
You can't vote until you're 33. And then secondly, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Okay. The researchers said from about 32 to 66, that would be like considered an adulthood stage, decades of stability for the brain. Your brain growth does start to slow down. Now, this is the part that is a bit humbling for most people. Per the survey, the brain function peaks in the 30s. So you're at your best in your 30s. The corollary for this is not to be upset, but just to become aware. And also, if you're picking people for your trivia team, make sure they're in their 30s.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, at your peak.
Yeah, and they don't have much research because it's difficult to track older people, but they don't have much research past 66 to 83. But this is when the connections in the brain start to shift and some of the sections inside your brain get a little more isolated. So that doesn't mean that, you know, you just wander off to Adam's porch and yell at clouds. But it does mean that that's sort of the mature aging process of the brain.
I love it. I was excited to hear about all of this information until you said you peaked at in your 30s, because I am well past that, which means I have been on the downward hill, downward side of the hill for quite some time now.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but now that you're revealing that, sadly, I'm in the mature section of the brain. Not mature in a good way.
Yeah, you're farther down the hill than I am. So turn around and check me out at a little higher than you.
Yeah, I've reached that age of the brain development where if you doom scroll on social media, you will be in a bad mood. It's guaranteed. It's not maybe. Yes. It is you will be. Hey, here's the good story about social media, though. They helped raise over $1 million so an Army veteran in his 80s could retire.
Hey.
This is a great story. An 88-year-old Army veteran, he worked at a grocery store in suburban Detroit, will now get to retire thanks to strangers.
That's earlier, fantastic.
Yeah. Kindness, social media influencer Samuel Weidenhofer posted a video about a guy named Ed Bombas asking people to donate so the man can get back to retirement. Now, Bombas retired from General Motors back in 1999, but his pension was gone when the company filed for bankruptcy. That's kind of a tough story, isn't it?
Yes, yes. That's fantastic that this went viral and people donated, and this gentleman's able to retire and just sort of relax and enjoy the rest of his life without having to go to work at a grocery store. He's 88 years old.
Yeah.
That's impressive that he was even doing that to make sure he was making a living, because there's a lot of people that won't even do that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. The donations are amazing as well. $1.3 million off of this posting. This will ensure that Bombas can stop worrying. He can live the life he always dreamed of with the peace and comfort he's earned after years of struggle. So he served our country. Then was an auto line worker, and that's not easy. And you think, well, you know, if I put together cars, I'm going to get a good pension. In fact, many times the United Auto Workers had set up some really nice pensions for guys that work their tails off. And then the company files bankruptcy, and that alters the path of a lot of people.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, well, I see those campaigns quite a bit for fund me accounts and things like that to raise money for somebody that just went viral in a picture or a video, and someone will post it and say, hey, let's raise some money for this person. I met them today. Here's their backstory. They're in their 80s. They're working at Target. And all of a sudden, a few $100,000 are raised, $1 million. I would just caution, we talk about the scams a lot with people's good nature and wanting to help out. Make sure when you donate to one of these, just do a quick tiny search or to find out if there's any red flags that this might be a scam or if it's real. I mean, usually you can tell if you put just a little due diligence toward it, you can smell if it's funny and say, yeah, this seems scammy to me. But something like this with this 88-year-old Army veteran, I mean, that just that's a great story.
Yeah, it is a great story. And Adam is correct. The big tip that we give people, in fact, probably every other show, we ought to mention it. It's actually a website called Charity Navigator. And while Adam and I know that not everybody can spell navigator, charitynavigator.org will get you the information you need as to whether something that you are seeing is a scam or not. So yes, we love the fact that we live in a generous country, but when you give, you want to give to somebody reputable.
That is a great note to end on for this, holiday edition of the Public Affairs Radio Show. Jay, I want you to have a great new year. We'll do this again throughout 2026. And for our listeners, if you'd like to hear this show or any of our past episodes, they're all listed in on-demand podcast form on our website, which is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.